Our sponsor today is none other than our Patreon members. You folks are bringing swords and HEMA to listeners worldwide, so thank you. To support our work and receive exclusive benefits, visit patreon.com/swordwomen. Welcome to By the Sword, where we discuss the modern study of historical European martial arts, or HEMA, with instructors, experts, and martial artists from all over the world. In this episode of the podcast, I meet professional LARPer and artist Raquel Skellington. We discuss being a queer woman of colour in the LARP community, using one's platform to confront racism, and how one becomes a professional LARPer. The episode was recorded on Instagram Live, 5th December, 2021.
Hi!
Hello! Hi, Raquel!
Hi! It's nice to be here. Hi, everybody!
So, Raquel Skellington, welcome to the show. We're just saying that the last few interviews I've done, I haven't been able to see anybody's comments, but luckily Instagram's working for me now, so I can see people joining us. Yes. Hopefully now that you've joined, we'll get some of your followers picking this up so they can ask you questions. I'm sure they've got lots of
questions. I'm sure.
So on the hour, I don't know what time it is where you are. It's 7:30 in the evening here in the UK. But on the
2:30 p.m. here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, okay, cool. I was going to ask you which part of the states you were in. On the hour, we're going to ask the folks watching at home if they have any questions or they want to ask you anything. So, Raquel, my question for you, first of all, the sword community is vast and there are lots of sort of, it's quite a broad church, but some of us might not know this, but what is LARP?
So LARP stands for Live Action Role Playing, and really just the easiest answer, it's very elaborate playing pretend. That's it. It's like a bunch of adults coming together and playing pretend, and that is all it is. there are different genres. It's like, as animation is like a form of art, and you can have different genres of animation, same thing with LARP, where it is a form of interactive entertainment that has many different genres and styles within it. It's basically an endless, your imagination is truly only the limit, because it is just pretend.
So, yeah, I mean, it's the same, you could say it's kind of like acting, but you're in the movie.
It's more like, you know, it's like acting with no audience, because the thing is with LARP that makes it so interesting is that instead of acting for an audience, like even with improv, you act for an audience, right? Mm-hmm. There is no audience. You are the audience and all the other players are the audience. So you're acting amongst yourselves for yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Now live action role play, I didn't realize this until I interviewed another guest last week, that it in the UK at least, it started in the early 1980s, but it followed on from the more traditional tabletop role-playing games.
Yes.
So it's things like Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, things like that. So in those,
same here.
Yeah. So saying the idea of like when you're playing those board game, those tabletop games, you have a character and you say, my character does this, my character says this, or you act it out at the table. I guess in LARP it's like you just are the character, that's you.
Yeah, you just do the thing. Now, like, you know, America had a very similar thing where LARP started in like really the late 70s. There is evidence though that people have been LARPing as far back, like as we know it, since like before the Victorian era. Like, there are photos of dressed up, like, Edwardian, Victorian people in costumes role-playing, and there is evidence that supports it. Essentially, LARP has been done since the dawn of time, because essentially we do it as children, yeah. And then we do it as adults with more money and props. And it's a very similar, and you're right, it is a really similar concept to D&D and like a lot of other tabletop games where you're embodying a character, and that is how it initially got its popularity here in the United States. But even then, like that, we call that kind of style here American bopper LARPing, which is like the really traditional style LARPing. Like you have bopper weapons, you have a character sheet, you have skills, you know, do all classic LARP things that we see in media. So I think it's quite interesting that most major countries in the world that LARP now, like, you know, England and Sweden, Denmark, Germany, Austria, Spain, Russia, US, Canada, all really started around the same time as we know it today. Yeah. It was all around the 70s and 80s, and there's even evidence in some countries in Sweden, I believe, there are people that have been LARPing since, like, the 50s in straight, like, fantasy costumes, like Lord of the Rings. And that was before it was really even, like, a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating to see how far back it goes.
Yeah, I think, you know, fancy dress is kind of like a form of LARP, isn't it?
Honestly, yes. Embodying your fantasy through dress.
Yeah, lots of adults love fancy dress, and they love like Halloween, things like that. The chance to dress up and be another person.
Exactly.
It's just like in the last few decades, it's been kind of formalized and made into.
Well, the rise of cosplay has also helped, because and the interesting thing is that you have like three types of people who get introduced to LARP. It's either they started as a cosplayer and then found LARP, or they started as a LARPer and found cosplay, or they did neither and just found LARP by accident through some other nerd form. And it's really interesting, because I was also a cosplayer, but when I was a cosplayer, I was like 11, 12 years old, and I'm 25 now, so that's like 13 years ago, my God. But back then, I was cosplaying, but I wasn't, because I was trying to make my own characters and dress up as them. I didn't really understand. I didn't see the appeal of dressing up as somebody else's character when I could just be my own, but I didn't know what LARP was then. I was just a child, and like I couldn't find anything on it. I knew I had heard of it, just didn't know what it was until I had gone to a convention and found a LARP table at the convention. And that's a done deal. Here we are 10 years later.
It's like you are a natural LARPer. You're born to do this.
I mean, sometimes people say that. It feels like it sometimes. I feel like this is the thing I was meant to do.
Now, you say that you got into it via cosplay. So how did it come across your path?
So I found out about cosplay around 10 years old. Me and my family have always been really into Halloween. And so the idea of just like dressing up a couple of weeks before Halloween didn't really sound very alien to me, because in New York, which is where I was at the time, there was the massive New York Comic Con convention. But just to give you an idea of how far back this was, New York Comic Con, as we know it now, did not exist. It was New York Anime Fest. Right. And I went with my dad, and me and my dad dressed up together, and he was Indiana Jones, and I was my own like pink-haired, goth-looking character, based off some anime stuff I was watching at the time, because I was a child. When I went the first time, I thought it was such an amazing experience going to a convention and finding all these other like-minded people. I got all of my friends to go with me each year. And so I started in middle school. And then by high school, I had a giant group of friends who would go with me every year. And all of our parents would dress up and we would all go together as like a big squad. And so one year, I was like 15 years old, and we saw this booth. We were so tired. We had just eaten like a snack, and we were like sitting, we were thinking about leaving and like going to do something else for a while and then coming back. And it must have been just such serendipitous fate where I was like, nah, guys, come on, let's go check out. I'm sure there's a part of the convention we haven't seen. And I turn a corner, and there is this booth for this game. And everybody's there dressed up in costume, and it says live action role playing. And I was like, whoa, 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 hold up, hold up, hold up. We have to stop. I need to talk to these people. And everybody made fun of me for wanting to spend so much time at the LARP booth and talking to the LARP people. And I had to do everything in my power to convince my father and my mother to let me go. I was, you know, I was a teenage girl, so I, you know, my parents were like, well, what the hell is this? Like, is this a cult? Like, what are we about to let you go do? We don't know what this is. And so, thankfully, my parents actually, and it's really funny to think about this now, my dad called the director of the game to be like, what am I about to send my daughter to? What is this? Who are you? Yeah. And me and my friends were all, so I was the only girl and all of my friends were boys. And a lot of them were also neurodivergent and we all stuck together like glue. We were all each other had, we were very viciously bullied growing up. So we all wanted to do it. So we all ended up going together as this like group of four and we stuck together all through high school LARPing. Until we graduated college and went our ways.
Oh,
some of us stopped and some of us didn't. Obviously.
That's pretty cute. I really love that story. It's so,
yeah.
It's like something out of Stranger Things. There's a bunch of kids getting into it together. It's really sweet.
So, it was very fun too. It's so crazy to think about a thing because it, especially here in the United States, to be introduced to LARP that young is like unheard of.
Yeah.
Usually most people here in the United States LARP as adults in college or even post-college. It's not something that you really ever hear about before you're like 18 or get involved with before you're 18. So the fact that I, a woman of color, a queer woman of color, as a child got into LARP is like, it hasn't happened yet since me. So I mean, like, it's pretty crazy.
It's fantastic. So like you say, you're close-knit bunch of pals, you grew up, you stuck with it. You've ended up becoming a professional LARPer.
Yes, this is true.
But
yes.
Tell me, you know, how does one become a professional LARPer and what does that
by mean? Accident. It was completely by accident. I had no, this was like not even a thing I thought was conceptually possible. So, I knew there was no such thing as LARPing professionally. It just wasn't. There were professional LARP designers, like people who made the LARPs, but a professional player, like a professional just LARPer? No, never heard of it before. And, like, it was so, the way it happened was, I never could have predicted it. Like, nobody could have. It was so out of just natural formation where when I started LARPing at like 15 years old, the photographer that they had hired to work there, and the LARP that I went to at the time was like top of the line. It was like top of the line for the US. Like there was nothing like it. They didn't even use bopper weapons. They exclusively used latex, which at the time, 10 years ago, was like, oh my God, they're only using latex weapons? It's so expensive. Oh my God, what a fancy LARP, which like now everyone uses latex weapons, so it's not even a big deal anymore. But it was like groundbreaking at the time. And so they had this photographer who had a booth that literally had a booth for people to go and take pictures as their characters every single game. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, I actually think you're really good at this. He goes, you should consider a career in modeling. Me, being a 16-year-old girl, was like, what do you mean? I'm ugly. Everybody bullies me. I could never be a model. I'm too ugly to be a model. Mm-hmm. And I as I grew up, when I turned 18, I went back to this LARP after taking a break for one last time to go. And he stopped me again and was like, hey, I know it's been a long time. He goes, but you know, you're an adult now. And I really think you should pursue this. I was dating a guy at the time who bought me a photo shoot and surprised me with it. Like I came home from my day job and there was like a whole setup and he was like, you should do this. He's like, just do it. And so I did it. And those photos of me in like corsets and stuff like that went like super viral. And I got picked up by the Daily Mail and I did this whole article and it was like this whole thing. So it like massively just like, and I started getting all these jobs. So suddenly I was trying to go to college, having a day job and also working as a model. And I did stuff for like catalogs. I worked for brands in like China and Japan as a Lolita dress model. Like I did a ton of, my face was like on a billboard in China, really weird. And I did that. And then one day I was probably about like about to turn 20 when a LARP company was like, hey, we know you do modeling. Could you model for the promotional materials of our LARP? And that was the moment where, like, those two, because, like, the modeling was completely separate from LARPing. But that was the definitive moment where it crossed over, and it just never uncrossed. I got a ton of popularity here on Instagram for just, like, posting my LARP stuff. I did not never think that, like, I didn't want to be an influencer. I just really like LARP. And so, like, I just posted my cool stuff that I thought was neat online. And then I got all this attention. And then but other LARPs were like, hey, we saw you did this thing for them. And that, like, really worked out. So we're going to hire you, too. And you're going to come to the game for free. And we're going to pay for you. And we're going to pay for your materials. And I was like, oh, okay. And then more LARPs kept doing it, and then more LARPs kept doing it, and I suddenly realized that, like, oh my god, I am literally making my living off of LARPing, like, just LARPing, not designing them, not writing them, not moderating them, just playing them. And I started to get really into, like, YouTube and things like that, and, like, my relationship with YouTube and my, like, LARP career has been interesting, because there were points where, you know, I feel like LARP has been so integral to my growth, not only as a creator, but as a person, where I have seriously changed throughout all of the 10 years I've been doing this, because I would say it was about 5 years ago where I really started to, like, 2016, where it really became professional for me. And now, what I do goes beyond just, like, being a community figurehead. I actually do a lot of work behind the scenes with LARP. I consult LARPs. I work with video game companies and consult them about stuff in relation to LARP. I basically know there is, as far as I know, no other professional LARPer in the world. I can definitely say 160% no professional LARPer in the United States or Canada that is like me. And so it's fascinating to be able to, since I grew up and I lived this is my life and I love it and I have so much passion for it, being able to see how this community has, like, grown and changed and how I've been able to help it. And that's all I want. I don't care, like, you know, being internet famous was never something I saw, and frankly, it sometimes still to this day really terrifies me to be a person of interest. But I figure that there have been so many people in history, and so many white men and so many white women in history that have had power and have used it for the most evil and horrific things, or have torn communities apart for their own egos. And, like, I just want to be able to use my platform for the good that I hope I can do, or, like, championing diversity in my community, working with companies and holding companies accountable, because unfortunately there are a lot of companies that are pretty racist. Mm-hmm. So keeping, you know, LARP games communities safe and accountable, if that is part of what being a professional LARPer means, I am happy to do that.
You've just head-started my next question, which was about diversity and representation in LARP, which is why I came to you for the interview, because being a woman of colour, a queer woman of colour, in the sword community, in the LARP community specifically, it's clear from your story that, you know, you love LARP so much, and clearly LARP loves you. And I know that, you know, sometimes that social media attention can be too much to bear sometimes, but yes, I think there is a responsibility, or at least there's an opportunity there to, like you say, use your platform for making this world a better place for, you know, people of all backgrounds, all appearances, and all ethnicities and social levels. it's, you know, it's an it will be a wasted opportunity, I think, to, you know, not explore that. So you said that you know, there is racism in the LARP community. Sadly, you know, there are racists
everywhere.
Everywhere, you know, people say, oh, you know, I'm from the HEMA community. People go, oh, is HEMA racist? And I was like, is as racist as anywhere else, you know, which is,
yeah,
well, could be. So, you know, what do you, you know, what's your take on representation and diversity in LARPing? Because I kind of, you know, from the outside looking in, it looks like a very white activity.
So, I will say that it is a very white dominated community. I wouldn't say it's inherently a white activity. Like, white people don't own the concept of playing pretend together. It's just that historically white people have had more disposable income to do. Yeah. Like, you have to have a very decent amount of income you're willing to put towards the hobby, because it's expensive to get the costumes, to go, to get food while you're there. You're essentially going on a mini vacation every other month or every couple of months.
Right.
And so it does, you know, obviously historically in the way that our society has been structured, people of color, especially Black Americans, have not really had that opportunity to grow their wealth and to be able to interact with the class structure that way. So that's really what keeps or has kept LARP white, is like that monetary barrier. But when I was growing up and I first did LARP, like, when you are growing up as a woman of color, you know, I don't think sometimes you realize how much is internalized either. So, like, my own internalized racism that I had to go through while going through these LARPs, like, I didn't think of myself as a Black person. I didn't think of myself as a person of color when I was a teenager. I just thought of me as me. But the moment where I realized suddenly I was different, and this is very sad, was I was at a LARP. I had just turned 16 years old, and I was wearing something that exposed my midriff. And I am not joking. This is a true story. A white man came up to me as I was, like, leaning on some steps trying to look very cool. And a white man came up to me and placed his hand upon my midriff and went, "Oh, I thought it was leather." Oh, yeah. Cross my heart, hope to die. Like, he actually said that to me. And that was, like, the moment where this reality that I had, this understanding that I had, that I was not different from anybody else. I was just a LARPer, was so abruptly shattered in such a harmful way, where, like, all of a sudden, I went to another LARP literally 2 months later, and I realized that I was the only brown person in the room. I was the only person of color there, period. Mm. And I suddenly started to get self-conscious and started to think, oh my God, do these people think of me different? Do they see me differently? I don't see them differently. Do they see me differently? And at the time, I was straightening my hair chemically. I was not going out into the sun. I was wearing makeup that was, like, 3 shades lighter than my skin, because all I wanted to be was, like, the beautiful, pale, goth women that I fawned over as a teenager, and I wasn't white. So that meant I couldn't be those things. And in my mind, if I could try and emulate it, then I could be it, right? And so throughout my time LARPing, I have experienced some pretty intense racism. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Like, it's been pretty intense. And sometimes it's been from, you know, just straight up jerks in the community that are racist. Sometimes it's been racist LARP runners. Sometimes it's been other influencers who have been, like, super racist. Like, it, you know, there have been many times where I thought, man, I'd be so much more successful if I was just white. If I was a white professional LARPer, I probably would have made some type of headline somewhere. But I always feel that because I am a woman of color, it's like this constant uphill battle trying to not only show that, like, our community is welcoming. Like, where we are right now is not even close to where we were 10 years ago. Like, it is, like, people want to talk like, oh, the LARP community is still not great. I think a lot of people don't even realize where we came from, because it used to be way worse. Mm-hmm. And, like, it used to be so bad. And now it's like, I can go to a game and know that I'm going to be safe. Like, I would say, like, 98% of games now have, like, policies against racism, have policies against discrimination that did not exist 10 years ago. Hell, that didn't exist, like, 6 years ago. Yeah. Like, this is all, like, really rapidly changing social consciousness stuff. And so it's been nice to see this increase of people of color coming to LARPs. And I know partially has been, like, because a lot of people have come to me and been like, hey, I've been seeing you do this, or I followed you for so many years, and I did it because I saw you do it. And that was always my plan. That was my train of thought, was that, like, when I started LARPing, I tried to look up YouTube videos, I tried to look up people that, other Black people that were doing it. I was trying to find other brown people, Black people that were doing it, and I could not find anyone except one woman named Nana, and she had 2 YouTube videos of her talking about LARP and doing her makeup, and that's when I was like, oh my god, I can do this, like, I can LARP, she can do it, I can do it. And so, fast forward the clock, when I started to go more professional, this was when I realized, okay, I want to be what I wish I had for others. I want others to find me and go, oh my god, she's doing it, I can do it. Oh my god, she's all these things, I can be all these things. And so, because no matter what anybody says, representation is important. If I had grown up with the media that is being created today, I probably would have skipped that horrible portion of my life where I had a lot of internalized racism and hatred towards myself. And now I want to champion diversity in this community. If I am such a figurehead and I do have this ability, I want to use it for good. And so there have been times where I have called out companies for exclusively using white models. And, like, just to give you an idea of how racist things would be, there were times where notable LARP clothing brands would post model casting calls. There was a time where I submitted and I was told that I did not fit their look or their brand image that they were going for, and they hired white ginger models instead because that was the aesthetic that they were going for. And this has been and this still happens. I still get told this today, right now, actually probably like as early as 4 months ago, that, like, oh, your look just isn't what we're looking for our brand. You know, we think you're a beautiful woman, but you're just not really what we want. And then they go hire a white model. And this has happened all the time, and it's being able to use my platform to put these companies on blast and be like, hey, you're being trash. This is trash. Like, your company is racist. You're catering to racists. You are catering to people that don't want to see people of color, and you're afraid of putting a person of color on your website because you think they'll leave. And I'm like, our money is, we are here. It's not like there are no people of color in this community. There are a ton of people of color, and, like, there are a ton of, you know, Asian people of color. There is so much diversity now. There, it makes no sense for these companies or for these games to exclude us when our money is just as good and our characters are just as fabulous. Mm-hmm. So my whole mission has been to break down those barriers. And I will say, sometimes it is very daunting. It can get very emotionally taxing. There have been times where I've almost wanted to quit because, like, I felt like, because I am sometimes the only one that really has that push to be able to do it with these companies, to do it with these brands or these games. And sometimes it's really scary. And I feel like sometimes it puts a huge target on my back. And I have had attacks launched against me for being a woman of color. I have been sent death threats. I have been called the N-word. I have been told that, you know, oh, you should play a dark elf because your skin's already dark. You don't need that much paint. Yeah. You know, and, you know, the whole blackface drow thing. And it's just, there's a lot. And there's, unfortunately, because some of the purveyors of our most famous fantasy content, like Lord of the Rings, or even like Lovecraft, and those authors were super racist, super anti-Semitic. Like, they were kind of garbage men that were writing what we essentially base all fantasy LARP or all fantasy content off of. And so people don't even realize some of the tropes, like having orcs be black-skinned and burly and monstrous and like, you know, these tribal, idiot, dangerous people. Where do you think they got that idea from? Mm-hmm. You know, where do you think that some of these concepts, like goblins being you know, big noses and greedy with gold. It's anti-Semitic. It's racism. Yeah. And people don't realize that when they're playing those things, they are perpetuating that racism because it is so underlying and insidious that, like, we don't realize it. So talking about it and getting it out into the forefront, like, hey, we need to change these things to be a better and more welcoming community. Mm-hmm. It's been happening. You know, at some points it's been easier than others, but I will say thankfully that even right before BLM, but especially after BLM, like the movement took off, there was this growing public consciousness of like, maybe we shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff, or maybe we do need to be listening to the people of color who are complaining or saying that these communities aren't welcoming or that we need to improve. And once BLM did happen, because, like, again, I've had being a figure in a community means that you have a lot of visibility, and having a lot of visibility means that people that don't like me because of my race have plenty of time to take pot shots at me, you know, where people started to realize, maybe these people saying really messed up stuff are really just racist and really just not great people. And it's been, again, an uphill battle, but I do feel like we are coming to this place of better understanding, and I mean in all nerd communities, not just in LARP. I also feel like it's happening in, you know, the tabletop community and reenactment communities and the LARPing community. So I'm glad to see that this is a clearly, like, social consciousness change. And I hope that as we continue into the future with LARPing, that it only becomes more diverse and inclusive.
Yeah, I mean, there's been, like you say, a progress made in the last few years. You know, we're not out of the woods yet, but progress is happening. And
yes,
the more voices, the more representation that we have, it can only improve.
Exactly. And now there is another talented cosplayer and LARPer named Uh-Oh Birds here on Instagram. She's another, like, beautiful plus-size model of color doing her thing and going LARPing. And, like, I can't believe that that's a thing now. And there are other LARPers of color starting to make Instagram accounts. 5 years ago, it was just me. And maybe, like, a couple of people who did it casually, but really, there was no, like, it was just me. Mm-hmm. And now that there's, like, that's what I want. I think sometimes we think that being an influencer or being a female influencer, there's a lot of cattiness, and it's like, oh, I'm the one that is first. I'm the top. Yeah. And that's not the point. I think that is honestly a really white mentality where it's like all about competition, when really I could not care less. I am just happy people are here because I just really like LARP and want to see more people doing it.
You just want to lift other people up and
yes, and we stick together, and if people of color in our communities stick together and lift each other up, we all rise. The tide rises everybody.
Mm-hmm, exactly. We're halfway through. So folks at home, there's 10 of you watching right now. If you want to ask Raquel any questions about LARP and how to get into it or anything to do with LARPing, please ask us either in the comments section, or if you look at the bottom of your phone screen, you see that little speech bubble with the question mark in it. Just tap that, type in your question, and we will open it up and read out your questions. I'm just going to have a quick look, see if anyone's added anything while we've been talking. Simply Samurai says, yay, LARP. He's been looking forward to this. Elsewhere says, the ultimate form of interactive theater. Knights of Wakanda, they're the
sword group, I believe, here in the States.
Yeah. LARP nerds unite. LARPing has got such a nerdy reputation, but you've made it like, not just you, but like, especially Instagram, LARP on Instagram is a completely different animal from the, like you say, that kind of nerdy.
Well, I think
stereotype that we put. It's like an art form, basically.
It is an art. And, like, I have a video actually coming out this week that discussed this in more detail where LARP has always been an art form, but what has gotten into the public consciousness, that whole, like, lightning bolt, and, like, really hyper bopper, like, LARP isn't really like that anymore. Like, it's not. You have to, like, try and find, like, a classic American boffer game like that. Like, that they show in media. Even, like, stuff like Hawkeye. Like, I don't know if you've seen, like, the Disney Plus Hawkeye show. They have LARPing in it. You have to try and find a LARP like that. We don't make them like that anymore. They're not around like that anymore. So I think that sometimes people have this, you know, because of media. And so essentially in the last couple of years, it's like LARP's been getting like a facelift. Like it's been getting this facelift, this rebranding of like, hey guys, we know that this does exist and there's nothing wrong with it, but this is really what it is. Mm. Take a look. You know what I mean?
Like a sort of cinematic quality to it is.
Yes, it totally. And sometimes that's how it feels. It feels like you're in a movie.
Mm. Question here from Astrid Budolfsson. Do you have any thoughts on being a queer person in LARP?
So it's really been an interesting experience because for a long time I identified as a straight woman. And because a lot of the trauma that I had growing up being bullied, a lot of it was from women, especially white women. Oh my God, I have had some of the most brutal stuff. I mean, physically done to me by white women. And so I had this idea in my head that like, women bad, men good. Mm-hmm. And all my friends were guys. My closest friends and confidants were all guys. I have like 6 prom photos taking pictures with every single one of them because none of us could get dates. So I was all their dates. I was 6 guys' dates for prom. And like, I didn't have this concept of like homosexuality or asexuality or, you know, heteronormativity. Like, I didn't know any of that stuff. I was just a young girl. So when I started LARPing and I saw polyamory, I saw open marriages, I saw, you know, queer couples in public, which where I lived in a very, even though I was in New York, it was a very rich, white, Republican area, so there was not a lot of like openly queer people, and so being in these environments, basically the most formative years of my life, it made me realize like, okay, well this is normal, this is totally normal, people do this everywhere. Oh, okay, cool. And probably when I was like around 18-19, I started to be like, and my big moment was I was like 17. It was Orange is the New Black came out. And I had just come home from a LARP event. And I remember sitting down and watching the episode. And, you know, there's a scene of the women getting busy. And all of a sudden, I was like, wow, that's hot. And I was like, no, that's not hot. I'm not gay. I'm not gay. What? Me? Gay? I'm not gay. So, what? Not me. And so I like tried to be like, no, women are bad, we don't like women, oh no. And so like I just like ignored that until I got more queer female friends in my adulthood, where like all of a sudden I was like 19 years old and I had all of these wonderful, supportive, not toxic female friends, white and black and all over the place, where all of a sudden I started to realize I actually kind of like girls a lot. Like I kind of find them super hot. And so it took me till I was about 20 years old to finally be like, okay, yeah, I think I'm bisexual. And LARP helped me like get through that journey. And I started to play with the idea that I could be bisexual, because that's not true. I really came out at like 21, even to myself. So at like 20 to 21, there was a character that I played, and actually she's still on my feed. And she has pink hair. She was an android named Phoebus. And Phoebus was a, you know, hyper femme android, but was also it was one of those androids where I didn't look strong, but I could like punch a car and it would like fly to space. And so I had this female friend of mine where I was like, hey, why don't we play a relationship. Why don't, I mean, it's LARP, we can pretend, right? I was like, why don't our characters be a couple? And she was totally fine with it. And we know we were very close friends, so it was like not really that weird to like hold hands and hug each other and be near each other like that. And that's when I realized I really like the idea of these two characters being romantic together. I was like not realizing that I was vicariously living what it was, my reality, my subconscious, through my LARPing experiences. And when I finally was able to come to terms with my own like internalized issues and realize that like, oh no, I am gay and it's okay. It's fine that I'm gay, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it's okay to like girls. Girls are very pretty. And so LARP was such a interesting way for me to like find that self-expression. And honestly, too, is that like being, you know, a black bisexual, you know, LARPer, at the time, I was the only one that I knew until, like, I really started to be open about my queerness and then realized there were so many other people just like me and that I was also normal. And that's totally chill. And now I'm still in a relationship with, you know, my boyfriend, but having a boyfriend doesn't make me any less gay, you know? And I feel like LARP was, it gave me the vocabulary. It had me meet the right people that were so welcoming and open-minded, because like LARP is such a queer friendly community. Like it's so gay.
And it's so gay.
There's plenty of not gay, but there's a lot of gay.
you got to actually sort of try it out by a LARP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just test drive my sexuality. Do we have any more questions?
I'm just seeing what the folks are typing here. Simply Samurai is saying internalized racism is super harmful, and yeah, it, because it's insidious, you don't see
it. You don't even think. You're just like, oh yeah, I straighten my hair every day.
Yeah.
You don't think about why or why you feel pressured to. What makes my natural hair messy? I don't know. I just did it. Until one day you really think about it, and you're like,
Yeah. And he's glad you haven't quit.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Me too. Honestly, me too.
He then asks, what has been your favorite project to work on, or one of your favorites?
So I love this question. There is one game that I will say definitively was my favorite LARP experience, which was Fairweather Manor, which I actually have a series about going to on my YouTube channel, and there's also, it's all documented down on my Instagram feed, so if you scroll down, you see stuff, that's it. I went to Fairweather Manor in 2017, and the first time I went, I was super nervous, and it was essentially, it's based off of Downton Abbey, so it's like taking place in like Edwardian era England, and it was all these noble families coming together for a wedding of two other noble families. This is like right before aristocracy really like fell as we knew it. And I wanted a romance novel. I wanted my dream. I'm such a sucker for romance novels. Anybody that knows me knows that I have a copious collection of romance novels. Vampire romance, Regency romance. I knew the Bridgertons before anybody knew the Bridgertons. And like, I wanted that experience to come to life. And Fairweather Manor literally was that for me. It was such a positive environment. It was actually a LARP that took place in Europe. It was in Poland. And it was so fascinating to meet so many people, because like that game brought people from all over the globe. South America, Canada, the US, UK, Poland, Russia, Spain, France, everybody just came together, and we all, regardless of our cultural upbringing, were able to play this LARP and had so much fun while doing it. And so Fairweather Manor, for the dramatic romance and, oh, I was proposed to by a bad noble and then fell in love with an artist, and I had to explain to my papa that I had to run away with him because I truly loved him, and the other man, he was flirting with maids. So It was a great experience. And here in the United States, I would say my favorite LARP experience is actually the LARP I was just at called Damerung. It is a Dark Ages Viking LARP. It is so fun, and it really encapsulates that roleplay style where there really isn't any mechanics. There's no skills. There's no character sheets. It's very just, you just roleplay. and that's really what it's about. Like, yeah, there are some, like, visual things where it's like, oh, if somebody uses this symbol on you, you're, you know, under influence or something. It's like very, very little mechanics. And so it makes it so easy to get so deep and wrapped up. And those are my favorite kind of LARPs, when you really get to think about the characters and the narratives that you're playing and their motivations. That's my favorite kind of stuff. But yeah, Fairweather Manor and Damerung LARP are like my two favorite LARPs on Earth. Too bad Fairweather Manor doesn't exist anymore. But if it did, it would still be my favorite.
They both sound amazing, to be honest.
Oh, they're great. If you ever get a chance to go to any LARP, actually, there's the LARP happening in the UK called Giovanni the Last Supper. It's a very similar, like, Renaissance vampire, very detailed roleplay experience. It's happening in 2023, and so everyone's like, ah, LARP is back! We're all so excited!
We got a little bit of time left. So we've got about 12 minutes left. Astrid, again, would you ever try your hand at organizing a LARP?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be a natural progression to my career. I have always been hyper aware that, like, modeling is a finite thing here in the United States. Like, usually in most industries, once you are a 30-year-old woman, and I don't agree with this, by the way, usually when you turn 30, it's over, right? Like, most, it's much harder for models over 30 to get work, period. I think this is changing, but my whole idea, because, like, again, I started at 20 as a professional, was like, okay, I have 10 years of this. I'll do this for 10 years, and we'll see where it goes. Nowadays, it's kind of changed because the world has changed, and, you know, it's not about these arbitrary ages anymore. I can essentially keep doing this until I don't want to. Mm-hmm. But I think that I've wanted to mature more. Like, I think we vastly underestimate how immature people under, like, 24, 25 really are. And I don't feel...
The frontal cortex isn't fused yet.
Yeah, like, it's not... Like, I've called it the brain click. Like, I didn't have my brain click until, like, midway through last year, where all of a sudden everything became much clearer to me, and I understood myself and the world around me, like, just differently, because I had matured. So now that I'm a mature adult, perhaps I will. I think that my experiences through life will only... give me a greater insight in how to be a better designer. And I honestly am looking to maybe start designing in my 30s while, you know, I settle down more in my life and I have more of that disposable income to really devote to that. Because if I do it, I want to do it right.
Yeah.
I've played enough to know.
You got it all worked out. You got the whole career mapped out. Mando Bando. Thoughts on what seems to be a quirk of fantasy, swordly interests that seem to simultaneously draw both queer and supremacist interest. I'm guessing we've all had uncomfortable experiences with the like.
Yes. Well, there's actually a couple of reasons for this, and there's some of it is, like, the psychological indoctrination, like, done by our society, in which that, you know, it brings supremacists because it was written by supremacists.
Yeah.
It was written by supremacists. So baseline, if they just don't think about and they make the active choice not to think about the content in any type of critical way, of course they love it. I mean, have you seen Warhammer 40K? It's basically just space fascism. And people, white dudes love that. Okay? They love Warhammer 40K. I have never stepped foot in that community because I am not usually welcomed in a space like that. But, like, there is clearly, because these narratives have traditionally been written by white people in high societal power structures, their biases get transferred through the media that they create, which is why we must be more thoughtful about the media that we show to younger people and children, because that stuff just gets in your head and you just think that that's the way it is, right? They're just less than me. I'm just better than them because I'm white. That's just the way it is, right? Mm. And so I think fantasy it's one of two ways. The people who choose not to think critically about a lot of what makes fantasy or what made it from these white men's perspective fantasy, I think enjoy it for that baseline reason. Mm-hmm. And then the people who find that queer narrative, it's because queer and being queer has always been taboo in our modern society. Not always in human life, but in our modern society. And so a lot of that subtext had to be between the lines. And so a lot of queer people are so used to taking that meaning or finding meaning in between that subtext. Like, you know, we're Bilbo and Frodo, you know, or we're, I don't even know their names. I'm not even a fan of Lord of the Rings. Sam and Frodo, yeah. Were Sam and Frodo, like, really, like, maybe they were gay. Yeah, maybe they were madly in love with each other and didn't know how to express it because they didn't have the tools. Yeah. And so I think that's why, and also, as we were saying earlier in this the avenue of self-exploration, a lot of people find that they are trans through LARP. A lot of people find that they are gay through LARP. A lot of people just find themselves or find that maybe they're not monogamous. Maybe they're polyamorous. Like, there is, LARP allows people to explore themselves in a safe and consensual manner with other people doing the same thing. And so that's why I think it gets a lot of people who just want to ignore the critical eccentricities about fantasy, because that's their escape. That's their power fantasies, that they want to be supremacists. They like that power. They like feeling better. And then there's the other half where it's like, this is how I'm finding me, or I'm finding others like me, or I see myself in these narratives and exploring those in an artistic manner. I think that's why there is such a draw between both. And if I'm honest, there is less and less tolerance here, at least here in the United States, for any type of supremacist content or people or players. I cannot speak for overseas. I know that in some areas of Europe, it's still pretty rough. But here, and even in Canada, Quebec is not great. It's good, but it's not great. So, but here in the United States, it's like the whole country has, like, all of, like, the LARP quarters of this country have, like, made a pact to, like, be better and kick out racists, because it just makes everybody look bad.
Smoky Whiskers, this isn't a question, it's just a thing. I came out to myself in my early 20s. It's really hard to overcome the internalized homophobia. Well done. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
Me too.
it took me till I was like 42, so you're doing pretty well.
I thought you were 21.
Like early 20s. Oh,
no.
Work.
Okay. We're almost out of time, but here's a question. Let me squeeze one in. Another one from the last question from the audience, from Astrid. Are you coming to Europe anytime soon?
Yes, I will be. I thankfully have a couple of LARPs lined up for 2022 and 2023. So I will hopefully be making anywhere between 3 to 5 trips to Europe. And of course, you know, I'm very thankful to be able to work with a bunch of European LARP companies that would like to have me come over and visit them and play their games. And so I am super, super excited. I'm going to be going on this pirate LARP in Italy in, I believe, May of 2022. I always stay for a while. I always stay to, like, just see people or see the sights or live in, you know, the area for a little while. I would always go to LARPs, and, like, I think the longest I stayed in Europe uninterrupted was like the full 3-month visa I was allowed. And so I really learned a lot. I love going to European LARPs. I feel like it's such a great cultural exchange. It's such a great way to culturally exchange each other's, you know, artistic thoughts or how we role play, or even just LARP theory and how LARP can be done by other cultures or in other ways and other influences. It's fascinating, and I'm so glad to be going back soon. Oh. Also, Witcher School. I'm totally going to Witcher School.
Oh, Witcher School! My friend Amelia, she was one of the instructors at the Witcher School. So she was...
Oh my God, they're such nice guys. I did a live on here with them a while back, but also with a Calamaseal, a weapons creator. Yeah. Great, great people. I'm so excited to go.
So cool. On the subject of swords, you know, combat and LARP, how does that work?
So... It depends. It really depends on, like, the game that you're going to, because I would say that LARP is broken up into, like, three major categories, which is, like, the artistic LARPs, the game LARPs, and the sport LARPs. And, like, sport LARPs kind of have the worst representation, in which, like, they are very popular and probably have the widest amount of people that play them, but they're not really LARP because they don't roleplay. They just, like, fight in costumes or in, like, certain settings. If there is roleplay, it's, like, super minimal, and it's, like, only in by name, where people are just calling each other by character names and not actually roleplaying.
Right.
So we call those in the greater community sock'em bopper LARPs. And so LARPs that are sock'em boppers, where people are just, like, fighting all the time, it can usually be, like, full contact fighting. Like, you may the weapon may be foam or latex, but, like, you can hit full swing as if you're trying to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And there are LARPs where you don't touch each other at all. Like, there are LARPs where, yes, there is combat, but it's more theatrical in nature, where you're supposed to, like, telegraph your moves really large and, like, have these big reactions, and that's how the combat, because the combat is supposed to serve a narrative purpose, not a sport purpose. Gotcha. And even in LARPs where it's, like, a game, and this is where we get into the very traditional, like, when you have a weapon, I have, like, a sword behind me, when you have a weapon like this and you have it in your hand and you're striking somebody and you go, three damage, and like, if the sword's enchanted by a fire mage, you go, three fire damage, and like, that is like the super, like, nobody likes to do that anymore. We all, in the LARP community, we all consider, it's called numeric calls, we all consider that pretty cringe now, but like, there are still LARPs out there that do it, and like, oh, I live in a city, sorry.
It's all right.
They're coming for me, actually.
Too much fun damage.
Yeah, way too much fun. But yeah, so LARP, combat in LARP depends on the LARP. I would say that LARP as a whole has moved away from, like, the super aggro, like, we're here to just beat the crap out of each other stuff. LARP combat now normally serves a narrative purpose. Like, why are you attacking this person? Is it because it's a lover's rival? Is it you're trying to rob them? Is it you're trying to assassinate them? And so we have made it so it's, like, more thoughtful that way. Instead of it's just you hitting somebody with a big old wacky stick, it's more of like, why do you hit them with the big wacky stick? Thunderbolt! Lightning bolt!
Fireball!
Okay. Fireball, lightning bolt, yes.
We are out of time. I'm immortal, yeah. I am immortal, actually. I live on the blood of newbies. So we are out of time. Raquel Skellington, the gorgeous, passionate,
thank you.
Insightful Raquel Skellington, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Lovely to talk to you.
And thank you.
See what you do next.
So I mentioned it briefly. I'm going to be having a What is LARP video coming out. It's very long. It's like over an hour. And I hope many of you guys take the time and watch it. I think any other questions that you may have for me may be answered in that video. So I would implore you to keep an eye on my page this week because it's definitely coming out. And I am going to, the LARP season here in the US is mostly over. I have one more LARP in January. So if you guys are interested in seeing my, Tavern Maiden character, Odette, anytime soon. Again, just follow me and I'll be talking about a lot of my adventures online.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you too. This was lovely.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. To show your appreciation, please give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform or support our work by becoming a patron at patreon.com/swordwomen. Go to @swordwomen on Instagram to see upcoming interviews, or visit buythesword.net to learn about our events, or visit our Facebook page, By the Sword.